Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The readings are taken from Exodus 13, verses 17 to 22, and from Hebrews 12. Our talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Our second reading this morning is from Hebrews. It's parts of chapter 12, three parts of chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, 18 to 24, and 28 to 29. And by way of brief explanation, Hebrews 11 has been talking of faith and people in the Old Testament who showed really good examples of faith. So Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 3, 18 to 24, and 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words may the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let's just take a moment to open ourselves to God, to his presence and his word. Lord, use my words. Lord, your words that we've read from Scripture to speak deeply to us. Where we need to be comforted, comfort us. Where we need to be challenged, challenge us. And continue to revive, restore, and renew us individually and as a church. In your name, Jesus, we ask. Amen. So those three words, restore, revive, renew, is part of the series that we have been doing for quite some weeks now about the life and the work of the Holy Spirit among us. And so restore it, how God is redirecting us, restoring and changing the way we think, we see things about God, about the world, but about ourselves, and to be revived, to be re-energized, to have a new vision, whether it is a personal vision about life and what our purpose is, or whether it is our vision of our life together as a faith community, and to be renewed daily in our desire to follow God and to express his intentions. And I'm going to start with this graph that if you've worked in the industries, you might have used that quite many times, called the golden circle. And it has three questions, or you know, three words: what, why, and how. And so for example, in the place of work or in companies, they would look at, well, what do we do? And why do we actually do what we do? And how are we going to go about it so that we reach our goals and our purposes? And I'm going to use those three words to unpack the readings, because you might, after the two readings, said, whoa, this is quite mouthy, lots of words in it. What is it all about? So let's start with the what. What are we called to do? Well, in the writing of this epistle to the Hebrew, it speaks about a race. Let us run the race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, if your eyes are quite good, you can see a younger version of myself there on the picture. Those pictures were taken in 2017. That was my first triathlon. It's called a spring triathlon, which is unfortunate, because I'm going to say that it's not actually a sprint, the Christian race. It's a long-haul race. But it's called sprint because it's a bit shorter distance than the normal triathlon. So as you see, you do some swimming, you do some cycling, and then it finishes with running. But thinking about real race helps us to understand what the writer says here. He speaks about running a race. He's speaking about running a race patiently, with perseverance. And if you've ever done a race of some kind, whether it's a 10K or a 5K or, you know, even better, a marathon, you know that you need to start quite slowly. You don't start running as it is 100 meters. You need to be patient. You realize that once you start it, there's quite some distance to do. It's a long haul. And sometimes it's sad to see churches or Christians, and I'm not out of that, because when I started this ministry here, this is my first church, you might know that I've been training as a curate, you are my first, and I think I've made many mistakes. And one of the mistakes is to try to do things too quickly. You know, you want to prove yourself. If you have a new job, you want to make sure that they made the right choice, and you try. And sometimes we just try to do things too quickly. We need to see our Christian race as a long haul. We need to be steady. There will be ups and downs. There will be highs and lows. There will be victories, but there will also be failures and mistakes. There are going to be joys and there are going to be sadness. There will be hopes and there will be disappointment. But what is important when you start the race is that you know where it ends, and then you can kind of engage with the race itself. And we know the finishing line. That's what we need to fill our thoughts with. We know that the finishing line is when we will see Jesus face to face. We know that we are running the Christian race because we want to hear what Jesus had promised. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in small things. Now come into the glory of your master. I'm going to give you new and much bigger responsibilities. And we're running a race with an example. I'm going to move to that, with an example which is Jesus himself. And Jesus was all about making God's purpose, God's character, God's intentions clear to all. And that's what we are called to do and to be as a church and as individual. How do I manifest his purpose, his intention, and his way of living so that others say, if God was with us, that's the kind of life he would live. Now we know that we are imperfect, we have flaws, and so we have the why. So the what is to run that race that's before us. The why is because we are surrounded by a large cloud of witness. Now this is another picture of mine, taken just a few days ago. I had the privilege to be in Italy for a few days. Nice weather, you can see there, blue skies, 28 degrees. This is in Verona, and it's one of the best preserved Roman amphitheater there. And it just spoke to me. I was already thinking about the preaching, because it speaks about spectators. And that's what we are experiencing with the Euro 24, and very soon we're going to have, of course, the Olympics. And what happens? Well, imagine it's the race, you've seen the first race, but imagine that race happens in the middle of the arena, and you are that Christian. And the passage speaks that you are not alone. Many, many, many have done the race before you. And they're all examples. And so, as we heard, chapter 11 is all about all those examples of faith, of life lived in faith, that we can draw from. And that's because our faith is anchored in history. People have expressed obedience and perseverance in the past, and you must mostly have many examples of people around you that have been surrounding you with example of faith, that have encouraged you. All these examples of people living out their faith culminate in Jesus. And so we are called to live within that story, within the historical accounts of faith. Faith in a good creator, God, who is committed to rescue his world. And discover that in Jesus Christ, this good creator God has finally and ultimately brought about his rescue. He has brought about a new way of living, new creation. He's defeated sin and death, and he now offers and summons all of us to join in, to receive the gift. And so the whole passage of chapter 11 and this chapter that we have those reading from is about faith and hope. Faith being looking at God and trusting him for everything, all our transformation, all our needs to be changed, and trusting in him. And hope is looking at the future and trusting in God for that too. He has promised a future, a new creation. And while we might see quite a different type of future at the moment, while we might be in times of anxiety, hope is looking to God that he will bring about his good future. And that passage speaks about, without faith, we can't begin to delight in God. We need to believe first that he exists, and that he does and wants us to seek him. And when we do, that he will reward He will reward us lavishly when we seek him. This is part of our worship. And so another reading of Hebrews 1 and 2 is, since we are part of such an amazing crowd, again, imagine yourself there in the middle. Imagine that now we can have about 22,000 people sit in that arena. Imagine all those people excited about your race, saying, come on, I've been there. Persevere. This is the amazing history with so many who has gone before, demonstrating what faith is, showing us the way ahead. That's the cloud of witness. And that's quite a big difference from our first reading in the Old Testament, where Israel had a witness, a cloud, a column of cloud and a column of fire, and they were to follow. We can think maybe, well, they had it easy. It was very tangible, you know, just if the cloud moves in the day or if the cloud of fire moves at night, just follow. It's quite easy. Well, yes and no, because you must remember they were without any teaching. They had just been liberated from Egypt, and that was all new. And the picture I have there is a picture that God knows and he is wise. The reading says that he did not allow them to go through the easy road, the straightforward road, because he knew it was well guarded. It was a dangerous road because it was well fortified, and they were not ready. So they had to learn to trust God's guidance. They had to follow. And it must not have been easy, because if you're a whole nation and you see it's moving, and say, well, we've only been here 3 days, why do we need to move now? Or maybe you've been like 2 months and said, God hasn't moved yet. What is he up to? You know, we think it was easy, but they had to be patient. They had to trust. And of course, in time, they did receive more instructions. They received the law, and they had to then live out and trust and obey. We have this cloud of witnesses that tell us a story, and we can learn from them. And we also have the New Testament, all the teachings now that are there to guide us. And we have Jesus. So if that's the what and the why, how do we run that race? And how do we allow those stories, those witnesses, to impact and guide our life? Well, the writer says, first, what you need is to learn to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, again, in the ancient times, if you were an athlete, you could physically throw off all your clothes, and you would end up kind of naked, and you would then kind of be that athlete. No, I don't ask you to throw your clothes for next week, please. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what are the weights? What are the weights that we might be carrying? What are the things we might need to give to God? What are the things we're carrying that slow us down? And it's not just individually, but that's also the reality as a faith community. What are the sins that gets in the way, that constricts our movement? Now, I found a helpful picture there. There we go. Oh, that's it. There we go. What are we carrying? Pains and forgiveness, sins, toxic behaviors. There we go. What is there? What's the top there? Can't see. Bitterness, yeah? Bitterness. Divisions. The picture there is those kind of things can trip us up. They can become obstacle in our running. They can be an obstacle in personal lives, but they can be obstacles in the life of the church. Thinking of the church in the time of the first century was not really different from our church. What were some of the destructive behavior that Paul, in all his letters, had to address? Well, the problem with our tongue, how we speak of each other. Certainly when we are in times of changes and anxiety. Certainly when we maybe disagree with a decision that's made in the church, or when the direction is taken in a different way, how do we then speak of each other when we disagree? The danger is that we allow gossips or slander to grow in the life of our church. And Proverb likens it to poison that once someone drinks, they cannot get out of their system. And Paul knew how it breaks fellowship. It undermines, it alienates, it creates suspicion and mistrust. So how can we talk about each other better? Well, one of the things is that we can think, if you have something to say about someone else and the person is not there, think whether you would be happy to say that with that person there. If you doubt, most probably you shouldn't say it. Or another way is, before you say anything, ask yourself those four things. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And is it helpful? And if you feel that the answer is no to one of those, maybe it's better not to say it. Now, sometimes we need to have feedback from someone. Sometimes we want to work out relationship, and it's important, and sometimes you need a bit of wisdom. That's different than you go for advice because you want to resolve the problems with the person. So how can we grow so that we speak well of each other? The other one there is kind of the hurts, that jealousy or the resentment. You can find that in the New Testament that breaks faith fellowship. So what are the weights? What are the things that we need to be aware so that we are free to run the race, to live freely for God? So we run the race. And second, we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Because what the author does, he goes through all those examples in the Old Testament, and then he finishes with the ultimate, which is Jesus. And it's for us to keep our imagination on Jesus. Think about his life. He is the pioneer. He started it all, and he is also the one who finished. But not just that, he is now our mentor. He is there with us. We need to learn to keep company with him, to worship him. It's not going to be easy. In passage, there will be sacrifice, there will even be suffering. There might be oppositions, there might be disappointment, there might be lonely time, but we will never be alone. We might be lonely, but not alone. He will always be with us. And so look at Jesus, because he's been through all that. And what made him continue on that journey is he knew the finishing line. He knew where he was going. He kept in mind the joy that was set before him. He knew the task, and that allowed him to face the oppositions and the difficulties. Let's not forget, one day we will meet with God. And as we've persevered the best we can, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling small things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's what needs to be in front of us as we keep on running that race. We have this expression, "eyes on the prize." Yeah, is that this kind of idiom, which means to remain focused on achieving a positive end result without being distracted by difficulties and setbacks. They will be there, the difficulties, the setbacks, but let's not let those distract us. Let's keep on running, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Considering him, so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. There will be battles, I've said, and there were battles for Israel, but they were not ready. And that's why God directed them first. They had to learn to trust and obey in small ways. And that's because God knows where we are as a church and as individual. And he knows the kind of lessons we need. He is wise in his leading. And sometimes it might feel like a detour. Sometimes it feels for the maybe Israel's like a delay and a waste of time. Why have I been waiting 3 months now? He hasn't moved. Let's get on with the business. And we're always in danger in the church to be anxious to see church doing better, and we take ideas from them, said, oh, if we do this and this and this, yeah, we'll be successful. We need to learn to be wise, sometimes to slow down. It's a long haul. Sometimes God says, not yet. And in the life of our church, it happened when we looked for a children and family worker. We had that idea of we're going to employ someone for 20, 30 hours, and we worked very hard on a job description, and then we interviewed the first one, and we couldn't find. Then, of course, COVID also hit. Then we interviewed a second time, and we couldn't find. And I must say, I was quite disappointed with God. What are you doing? All this energy. But that led me to more prayer. Maybe God, you're saying something else. That's only then that I said, maybe you're saying something else. You know, sometimes we hit the wall and we hit and we hit and we hit and we're not willing to listen. We can be doing the same thing sometimes for decades without listening. God is patient. So we prayed, and then the idea of maybe we should split the role, maybe doing a few hours with the children church and then a few hours for outside. And all of a sudden, a door opened, and someone felt the call, and it's such a great joy to work with Rachel Haddell, and it's the right person, and it's the right time. So let's grow in confidence. God knows. Let's not be discouraged when things feel a bit slower, and let's listen to him. And when hardship and opposition comes, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's consider his life. And let's consider what we have received and where we've come to. And you have this amazing picture here, a frightening picture, that speaks of Israel again and compares with what Israel experienced, how they experienced God on that mountain when they received the Ten Commandments, and how we experience God through Jesus. And a big difference. The first one feels a bit like that. God is a consuming fire. And when we think of fire, maybe the only picture often we have in our days is fire. We see that on our screen when there is a big wildfire or when there is a tragedy with a fire that kills many people. That's often the picture we have. Then again, a picture of my trip to Italy. There is another way of seeing fire, and that's the idea of being refined. To being refined. On the right is the idea of the gold that's refined. It needs to be in intense heat so that all the impurities go to the surface and it can be scraped from it, and then it becomes pure. But I like better the what I experience in Venice. That's one of the islands of Venice, is Murano, and it's very well known for all their glassmaking. And so you have there a glassmaker there. And of course, to make glass, you need mainly kind of the type of sand, and you need to melt it in very, very, very high temperature, around 1,700 Celsius. But what it made me think about is that this person, so he has to put the sand, which is kind of me, in the refining fire, and then he molds something that's beautiful. Those glasses are beautiful. And that's what God does when he refines us. He creates something that is beautiful. And that's a very different picture than the kind of destructive reality of that can be fire. This is about being refined. And it doesn't feel sometimes really nice to be refined. But again, if we don't lose the picture that it is about becoming beautiful, becoming the kind of person God wants us to be, so that we won't feel out of place when heaven comes. You see, we will have been trained. It will be filled like we home. And that's what we do together as a church. God is refining. And it's so different. The first vision and what the Israel experienced was terrifying. It was a mountain, and it speaks of fire and darkness and gloom and storm and trumpets and voice speaking. And they were so terrified that they begged God, don't speak to us. And even in this passage, even Moses himself is trembling with fear at that sight. We come to God through Jesus, who says, come to me, all you who are tired, weary. Learn from me. I am gentle. I'm going to walk with you. But trust me, I'm making a work. I'm transforming you to be this beautiful vase, to be this beautiful art of glass. So join in. Don't miss out. But also don't fall out. As Christians, we can't be passenger. We can't just come along on and enjoying Christian community. No, we need a commitment. We need a response. Partly it's laying aside those baggages, those heavy weights and the sin. It's matching God's no, what he says, don't live like that, don't act like that. With our no, I won't live like that, I won't act like that, because he knows best and he has good plans. I will learn to live God's way and to learn from all those witnesses, all those stories of faith. Meeting God in such a way will transform you from to the core and will make you into this beautiful vase or whatever art of glass that they're doing. And so he finishes with that, let us be thankful. And one of the quality is the grow of thankfulness, of gratitude for God's patience, for God's grace in our lives. Let us be thankful, but let us live a life of reverence. He is also a holy God, and awe. So holiness is part of the deal. And this is how one of the translations puts it about holiness or being refined. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourself in Christ and be up and about. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. So God does not want us to miss out. He doesn't want you to miss out. So keep on running with perseverance. Don't give up. Keep it up. Stay focused on the goal. Throw off what might impede your race, your progress, your ability to finish. Look to Jesus. He is the supreme example, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. Consider how he lived his life and do not lose heart or grow weary. Remember that it's Jesus who makes it possible. His blood is the ultimate sacrifice that brings us directly in the very presence of God. So live out fully your new life. Pursue peace with your faith community and live a life that honors him. And let us all be encouraged. Let us be encouraged. We are surrounded by people who are cheering us up, whether they're alive or whether from the past. They are telling us, come on, you can do this. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.